come together, we can gather together to worship and serve God. And hopefully we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth, because that is the whole of man that we have the duty to do, and we certainly ought to always be involved in worshiping in spirit and truth. We ought to examine ourselves to whether we be in the truth. It's very important that we do that. Our lesson today has to do with a family. It's probably a little different than the way that you have perhaps heard other lessons about the family of God. But we're part of that family, and we'd like to examine a few things as pertaining to it and how that we can examine ourselves if we are in the family of God. I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 3. Just a few verses to establish a little bit about the lesson. And this whole letter is written to the church at Ephesus, and it talks about the oneness of Christ, the oneness of God, the oneness of faith and hope and baptism and all these things. But as pertaining to chapter 3 in these verses, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." A beautiful selection or words from the scripture, from God's word there. But I'd like to keep in mind about the whole family in heaven and on earth. I'm sure that most of us, do not oftentimes think of the family in heaven as much as I do the family here on earth. But that's all right. There is a family in heaven. It is somewhat, or we are to be somewhat like it is. The family in heaven worships and serves God. And oftentimes, I guess this is referred to as angels. Jesus, on one occasion, when he could have used some help or assistance, or so man would have thought, he said that he could have called 10,000 angels to come to his assistance. So the family in heaven and the family on earth share some characteristics, and a few of these we'll look at this morning, or we will examine. For instance, those in heaven are righteous. We're to be righteous. Those in heaven are holy. We're to be holy. Be ye holy, even as God is holy. And we're to be serving, and we're to serve him. And that's what we're to do. That's what those in heaven do. But we ought to examine something else, whether we be in the faith. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21. A few verses here I'd like you examine this morning with me. And we'll look at these things closely, because that's what they're written for. These verses of Scripture are written that we may know how to live and act and what to say and what to teach here on this earth. And just because we're a Christian today, you know, tomorrow it might be quite different if you follow the wrong teaching. So look at Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. The situation is this. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He has gone into the temple. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, "By what authority dost thou these things? Who gave thee this authority?" Can't you hear them, old folks? The scribes and all of these people there. Now, this is a chief priest. They pertain to things of a religious nature. And then the others are the elders of the people. They take care of the physical things. You know, how many candles to burn and what time to gather and all this little stuff like that, you know. Maybe what songs are going to sing. Anyway, but all the authority of the temple is there. That's what we're pointing out. That's what the Lord has described for us. The authority of the temple is there. And they said, by what authority are you teaching these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So look at their conclusion. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. The point I want to emphasize this morning is this. By what authority are you living your life? By what authority are we worshiping God today? By what authority are we teaching the things that were taught today? By what authority are we proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there an authority for that? So I look about me in the religious world today and I see people teaching one thing and another thing and some denying one thing and denying other things. There is much confusion in the world today, although we have, for instance, the people that are claiming to be Christian, one God. But there are many things that these people seem to be doubting and other things they think we ought to hold on to. And not long ago I was reading about a new church group that was beginning down at almost across the road from the Lake Norman Church of Christ, which we began down there in 1993, in the fall of 1993. But this guy was telling me he had already gone out and bought him an amplifier. Yes, sir, that's what it says. He had a good little 6 or 8 column article on him, and he had his own money. He'd gone out to purchase this amplifier because he was going to use an amplifier. And he said, I'm going to be proclaiming the Holy Ghost as the gospel. The Holy Ghost is what we proclaim because that's the Holy Spirit. That's what this word is. It is already here, and now we can read it and study it today. The Spirit of God lives and dwells on earth today through his word. It is here and now. That's what we're to proclaim. But so many people have gone to believe that we need entertainment as a part of our worship. Well, yes, I enjoy worship. I enjoy the singing. I enjoyed hearing Raul lead the singing this morning. And enjoy Dennis when he leads the singing. I was over at the Rock Hill Church of Christ last Monday, and I enjoyed the singing there. The church seems to be sound and in good hands over at Rock Hill. An able preacher, many able song leaders, able men to help lead, able ladies to teach the younger ladies and so on, to teach the children that all of the values of living a godly life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But they too must examine themselves whether they be in the faith. They must look and say, well, what authority are we doing this? We have gathered on the first day of the week. But what authority are we here today? Can we find that authority in the Scriptures? Why, yes, we can. The men came this morning and they served the Lord's Supper, the bread and the fruit of the vine. We turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. We find that Paul was there at Troas. About 5 days he'd been waiting, but he gathered there then on the first day of the week. And they broke, disciples broke bread. And Paul preached unto them. And he preached a little long that night. He preached to midnight. A lot of folks would get sleepy, wouldn't they? Well, a young man there named Eutychus got sleepy. He was sitting up in the third floor loft, sleepy up there, the nosebleed area. But he was there. That's the important thing. He was there listening to the apostle for a while till he went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, he fell out of that window. It must have been a long fall because they took him up for dead. And there was one there with the power of God. See, the Word was not written then. The New Testament was not written. The book of Acts was not written down. But there was the Spirit of God revealing the will of God through these men as it was needed. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, became Paul when he obeyed the gospel and he took up the young man. His life was in him. That miracle further established that this is God speaking to man on earth at that time. And we can read and study those miracles today. People say, do you believe in miracles? Yes, I believe in miracles. I believe they've already happened. Lots of miracles, hadn't they? The book is full of miracles. Wonderful miracles. I enjoy talking about the miracles. But now these folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they looked at things purely from a man's standpoint a lot of times. But examine the scriptures. You might notice also, like about all the other religious orders about us, that they took up a collection this morning. Now, why did we do that? Could we not have mailed it in? Could we not have waited till Saturday or whenever we wanted to? But if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you will see, now as concerning the collection for the saints, upon the first day of the week. Now, when is that? What's the first day of this week? It's today, is it not? A new week has begun today. These new people of God, these Christians, those that have been buried into Christ, that have risen to walk in a newness of life, there is a new day given whereby that we worship and serve God, and it is the first day of the week. I look about us and I see some folks that ought to go back and read verse 23 again. By what authority are they doing the things they do? I know people that gather on the Sabbath day. Years ago, but quite a while ago now, I did a home Bible study. They had done the Bible correspondence course and did very well. Answered about all the questions correctly. But they were 7 day. They wanted to gather on the Sabbath day and said that was the day that man should gather because God instituted that in the Old Testament. Those things that were written then, they are still there for our learning, our admonition. They were to bring us to Christ. Once Christ came, Christ fulfilled that law. Colossians 2:12, it has been nailed to the cross. It is old, as the Hebrew writer says, repeated, you know, several times in the Hebrew letter to the Jews, that law has been fulfilled. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So the Sabbath day people that gathered yesterday, they should examine the scriptures. By what authority are they doing those things? Because we are to gather on the first day of the week to worship and serve God, to participate in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, teaching those things that are proclaimed in God's Word, teaching them to ourselves and to our children and to everyone about. That's what the gospel is all about, isn't it? That's what we are to do. And you notice other things that are in the scriptures. We find that people get mistaken all about, and they ought to leave the opinionated things out and hold on to those things that are true. But we are the family of God. There's a song, it's not in the book that we're using, but it's in one of the other books. It talks about God's family, how that there are feelings that we have one to another. Be ye kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, is written for our learning. It's written for our practice in life. And one of the greatest lessons you could ever learn, you may not become wealthy, you may not become powerful or rich, you may not become, you know, real popular throughout the world and in the limelight, but you can be kind. You can be tender-hearted. You can be forgiving. And you can be considerate of others. God's family. We're part of the family that's been born again. part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. I like that conclusion there, that verse. When we all get to heaven, God's family. That's something that we ought to strive for. You know, I know that you believe that you are going to heaven. I believe that I'm going to heaven. We ought to say that. But you know, we ought to look around. We ought to realize that some among us may not make it to heaven simply because sin gets in the way. Sin is something they become participants in, and they forget what manner of people they ought to be, or that we ought to be. The time has come when we ought to be teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto others. But sometimes there's need that we go back to the basic things and teach one another, but seems to be falling away. Restore them in the faith. Who's going to do that? You and I. We have to be observant, don't we? We have to care. We have to have compassion. Compassion often starts, you know, with the little folks about us. Something I read every once in a while. I've kept this article, cut it out of the newspaper. Don't even know what year. It's been around a while. It's turned yellow. But I read it to remind myself as pertaining to children. And our brothers and sisters sometimes are children too. You know, we have to realize their weaknesses and shortcomings and things that they have, you know, need of that we can help and assist them. This has to do with a child. And oftentimes I'm at a place where it seems that the parent of the child needs a lot of teaching. They scream at the child, say, "You do that again and I'm going to whip you," or whatever. Well, the child does something twice, "You do that again, I'm going to whip you," you know, "but when you get home," or whatever. And they don't do nothing except yell at them, scream at them. I remember a man, every once in a while, he was a great guy to be around, friendly to me. He'd have been friendly to you. He'd come home, you know, they had a dog. "Hey there, dog." He'd rub him on the head. He loved that dog. His boy come in the yard, you know, and look at him. "You got your homework, boy. Get in and do your homework." He was short and snappy and cruel to his own flesh and blood. What did he lack? He lacked what we're talking about the members of the Lord's church ought to have, and that is compassion and being tenderhearted and forgiving one to another. But we ought to know how to take care of each other and love them. Jesus loved us. God loves us. Are we not to extend to God love? Take time out. Written by a little child. "Please, Mom and Dad, my hands are small. I don't mean to spill my milk. My legs are short. Please slow down so I can keep up with you. Please look at me when I talk to you. Let me know that you are really listening. My feelings are tender. Don't nag me all day. Let me make mistakes without being stupid. Don't expect the bed that I make or the picture I draw to be perfect. Just love me for trying. Remember, I am a child, not a small adult. Sometimes I don't understand what you're saying. I love you so much. Please love me for just being me, not just for the things that I can do." See, we ought to be considerate. That's the big message, I guess, to get out of this. Be considerate of others. Be caring and ready to help and assist someone else, because we're part of the family. Righteousness and holiness and all of these things are there, and we ought to examine ourselves, just as Jesus told these people, you know, By what authority do you do this? By what authority is a father screaming at his child in an unkind way? What authority does he have for that? What authority do people have that get drunk and lie and steal and cheat and murder? Sometimes we turn on the news. I say, I'm going to turn on the news and see how many got shot and killed in Charlotte. Because about every day, somebody has shot someone else. And oftentimes they knew each other. They were acquaintances. But they were not acting God-like. They were not acting Christ-like. And some of these people claim to be of the family of God, do they not? We ought to remember and examine ourselves to the things that we do, the things that we teach. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through his precious name. Sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. Don't let sin and reproach, sin and the era of living an unrighteous way in this world, separate you from God. What can separate us from the love of Christ? The things of the earth can't unless we let them. We have to let them. Don't let the things of the earth separate you from the love of God. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. I hear people, one thing I used to enjoy about my job was the many people that I met. I could discuss Bible things, discuss a lot of things, evolution and whatever, around some of the people that I met. And I enjoyed that. Miss that today. One of the few things I miss about being so-called retired. But from time to time, I'd hear people say, I'm studying the Eastern religions. We've got one couple here that's going over to the East pretty shortly, a plan to, I think. But they just want to study the Eastern religions. They want to study the mystics things of this world. Why? Are they searching for something? Is they missing something? Yes, they are, aren't they? But they need to study the things of God. God is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not in Confucius. He's not in the religions of this world. He's not in the spirit of the mountains, of the trees, of the volcanoes, or any of these things. Jesus Christ came to this earth to shed his blood that we could have remission of our sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do we have this remission of sins? We've got to be in Christ. In Christ. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? There's a lot of people, you know, I'd run into, had never heard of the churches of Christ. The churches of Christ is right here in Romans 16, verse 16. That we can read about. And what church are they added to? See, we want to examine the scriptures. And just what are the scriptures teaching? For instance, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, here comes the warning. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Don't be simple. Be well learned, well taught. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good work. What's going to strengthen you and keep you? The doctrine. It's what you've got to hear. It's what you've got to preach and teach. It's what you've got to live by, isn't it? obey that a form of doctrine which was once delivered unto the saints. Romans, the 10th chapter, you don't have time to read all of this, but we'll read a few verses here as pertaining to the gospel, as pertaining to us and acknowledging where our hearts are. And we'll pick up there in Romans 10, talking about the word of Christ. But what saith, if the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Doesn't mean he's there yet, does it? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, these things precede righteousness and salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? That's why we have gospel meetings. That's why we preach and teach. They've got to hear the word. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I run into people and say, I just pray for faith. I can go down and sit under the apple tree and have peace and sit there in my lawn chair or my rocking chair and grow stronger and think, no, you can't. You've got to hear the word and believe in that word. Believe that Jesus came and lived and walked the face of this earth, and that he is a rewarder of all those that will diligently seek him. Got to believe that. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel. If we are examining ourselves to see whether we be in the faith, then we must hear the gospel and believe the gospel. We must confess Jesus Christ before men. Before we become a Christian, we do it. After we become a Christian, we continue to do that. I looked in Acts chapter 8. You know, the whole book of Acts shows the actions of people, the acts of those apostles and those preaching and teaching the gospel. Starting from the day of Pentecost, the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he told them to wait there in Jerusalem till the Spirit came from on high. And as they were waiting, he came. And he was able to so instill his word in these preaching, the teaching, the gospel, the apostles, those 12, before the others were converted. But to the 12 there, they began to preach and teach in such a way that people in all the languages of the earth gathered there that day. Some people say it's 12, 14 different languages plus other dialects, and they all heard in their own language the message of God. How that this same Jesus whom they had crucified, dead, buried, was resurrected on the third day, and he came to live and walk among men. And of course, Corinthian letter tells us appeared before over 500 at one time. So this did happen. Believe it. Accept it. This is God in the flesh, and he was now resurrected. And they were to preach and teach him in all the world. And there was those people did. Acts chapter 2, you see it. But they said, cried out, what shall we do? Man, that's a good question. They needed to know what to do. And Peter said, the Spirit through Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Did he not? Repent and be baptized. This is a marvelous statement. It was just exactly what God wanted these people to know. They were to be baptized. Let's just read the verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, I'm kind of a good feller. I got to be baptized too. Now, I don't know what questions some of them people ask. But there was about 3,000 that didn't question. We'll find out down toward the latter end of this particular chapter, verses. They were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wonderful message, and they obeyed it. That's what people need to do today. Obey this gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear it, believe it, and obey it. The gospel is what calls you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Called by the gospel. Why? Because Romans 1 verse 16 tells us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Holding hands around the apple tree is not going to save you. Matter of fact, it might be a dangerous place to be. Blackbirds might land in the tree. Got at my house squirrels up there eating off the apples. They fall down on the ground, and another squirrel comes, picks it up, and takes off to the woods. Don't want to be sitting there right now, this time of year. That won't save you. But obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ will. Question that. That's what we need to do. Realize that the gospel is there for salvation's purposes. That's exactly why Jesus came to earth, was to save us, to seek and to save that which was lost. But you need to obey it. Obey it. God's family, part of the family. And though some go before us, we will all meet again just inside the city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting with Jesus. We'll be together forever, God's family. Are you part of the family of God? The churches of Christ are. Look, examine whatever religious belief you might have, and you will see that the Lord's church is mentioned here. We know that our headquarters is in heaven. We know that Jesus is head of the church. Not some woman, not some man, not some city here on earth where the so-called headquarters is, but it's in heaven with Jesus Christ. And we want to help you or assist you or study with you, whatever it is your need is. We will certainly be there to help you and assist you if you will just let it be known. Examine by what authority you're doing each and everything in your life. What authority is there for the church or religious group that you belong to? Is it from heaven or is it from man? That's the question of today. And the next question is, what are you and I going to do with it? We're part of the family. Let's act like a family unit. Let's work and worship and do those things that a family does one to another. If we might help anyone, Raul has got a song announced of invitation. I believe it's 143, whatever it was. But we're going to stand. We're going to sing. Our time is up for this morning. But we're going to invite you back right now. If you didn't get enough of family, we've got another family lesson tonight. So if we might help anybody, please come now as we stand and sing.